So about 2 weeks ago, we had a heat wave that caught us off guard. And in a few days, we're going to have another heat wave by the look of it, with about 4 or 5 days at or above 40 degrees. So I thought what I'd do is make a video just showing what we're going to do, or what we've been learning to do to prepare for a heat wave, to keep the garden alive, but also just to give a bit of a tour of everything that we've been doing over the last couple of months. It's been a few months since we've done a sort of an update video. So the first thing I do, usually one of the first things I do when I come out, is I just turn on all of the dripper systems. I usually run them for about 15 to 20 minutes each morning, just to put some water in the soil. So the smaller plants just need that daily protection. I just go around and turn on all of the drippers. So this is the veggie garden. It's looking a little greener than it has in previous summers. So we're in the middle of January at the moment. What I started doing last night in preparation for the heat wave is I'm just going around and I'm just using the soaker part of this. Oh, I've got to turn it on at the tap. Just been using the soaker. It seems to be the sort of low impact watering, and I've just been going around and just soaking water into the espalier fruit trees. Just got a few more to do on the citrus side.
We also managed to get some really good peaches this year. Probably the first year. No, it's not the first year, but it's the first year of getting really good sized peaches.
So yeah, giving them a deep water. Now, since putting in this small raised portion around the fence line, they're like twice as good as they were a year ago. So that's been a good intervention. The drippers have also helped with just keeping water in the soil. But what we're gonna do going forward, when we get to maybe late March, maybe into April, I'm just gonna do a mass planting of perennials, annuals, just anything that's going to start covering all the soil here. I'm sort of done to a degree with using this kind of mulch. I'd rather a living mulch that will take us into the summer, so that will protect the soil from the extreme heat we get up here. So that's the idea there. We've finally got some raspberry canes growing. They've been a bit sun damaged. And just last night, they're all kind of growing out. But it's been suggested to try and get them going vertical. So I've started doing that. One thing that I'm encouraged about is usually our comfrey would be in dire straits by this time of year, just struggling, but with the raised bed and the drippers, they're starting to grow a bit better. So some encouraging signs that the implementations or the interventions that we're doing are starting to work. Even having a few strawberries come through. So this is, yeah, it's encouraging to get some wins. Now, one thing I find myself doing from time to time is getting motivated and enthusiastic to do something at the quote unquote wrong time, and that is starting to plant some annuals into our raised beds here. Started putting in the dripper systems. Got a few with the dripper systems in, the hoops and covering from the blackbirds that love to dig into our soil. But yeah, I've just started planting in. The idea is just to get as much biomass happening as possible, even if it, you know, we can't eat it, doesn't grow too well. Anything that will grow that we can make into compost or feed to the chickens is going to be a win. And I'm really happy that the sunflowers have been able to grow. I'm just impressed and happy that they've grown without shade. Like, the idea is to put shade out here as well as another barrier to the summer heat. But yeah, they've managed to grow quite successfully without the shade, so that's encouraging. As I think I've said in other videos, using these style raised beds in the Wimmera is probably wasn't the greatest decision, but it's like, well, they're in now, we're going to make it work. So we're hoping that with dripper systems and shade in the future, that this area will just get better and better. So what I do is I give the fruit trees about 8 minutes of soakage. I just kind of move it around so it's not getting it all at the right at the root base, that it's sort of getting it at the side. Yeah, we got a really good harvest of oranges this year, and it's really great that, like, almost like straight after you've finished eating the oranges, there's new ones coming for the next season. I've already started planting out around the fruit trees with lavender. I think this is lemon balm. It's got a really nice smell to it. One of the things I do struggle with is sometimes forgetting that I'm watering something, and you can get distracted really easily, and then you're going to run back to move the hose, and it's kind of saturated everything outside of the raised bed. But
15 minutes later.
The reality is you make mistakes, you forget, and a lot of that water eventually has just made its way out the front of the property. In winter, I put compost worms in the nearly completed hot compost pile.
I've learnt a little compost technique. Now, sometimes when I do my hot compost, by the time it's basically cooled down, sometimes it's just not completely broken down and ready. A bit like this. I mean, it's fine, but, you know, it could break down a little more. So now what I'm doing, when one of these worm bins is ready to harvest, I separate the worms from the castings. So instead of putting the worms back in the worm farm, take these worms and I'm going to add them to this basically finished hot compost pile. I would imagine they're going to reproduce into a heap more worms in here over the next sort of 4, 5, 6 months. So now I'm getting my hot compost turned into worm castings over the cooler months, and hopefully getting a whole lot more worms. Okay, here's an update on the worms in the compost pile. I've just started sifting it through here, so we're going to see how many worms we've got. Probably been about 4 or 5 months now. So the good news is there are worms in the pile. So I think it's been a success. I just need to keep the pile more moist, and I think I can hopefully rotate these worms to each pile, giving them a chance to work on it before putting it in the garden. You're after my worms, aren't you? Hey? Any worms that I don't collect when I'm doing the sifting of the compost, and I put it in this sort of receiving bay, compost receiving bay that we use for seed raising mix and so on, those worms make their way up to the top here, and then I can collect them. You could leave them in here, but... So let's see how many worms we got out of the system. There you go. These buckets are not made like they used to. So what I'll do is it's a bit wet, so what I'll do is I'll just break it up a little bit and let it sit, dry out a little bit, and allow the worms to make their way into the center of the pile. I left the
earthworms in a pile here overnight, just bile been taking off the material to get to the worms, and overnight they've been trying to leave, but I think I can fix it. Okay, this is the next compost pile I want to put the worms in. I just want to see if it's hot at all. No, that'll be absolutely fine for them. I'm just going to add them. Let's see how they go in this one. And that's been successful. They're surviving the summer. They survived the winter. It's just important to make sure that the compost stays wet. We've got worms. It's just good to have life in the soil or in the compost. Come back and finish that a bit later. I haven't been able to make a compost pile for a while. Just been focusing on other things. So we've got a bay ready for compost. So we've been just collecting cardboard just from deliveries and whatever. And so this area gets really quite full. We've got old food that expired, other things. So I just put it all here, and eventually it ends up building compost.
So once spring came around, it was time to start doing bee inspections and just checking out the hives, as well as with Varroa now in Australia, it was time to start looking at how to deal with that if and when it comes, or when it comes. And so what I did during this inspection is added some bottom boards with a tray at the back of the hives to be able to monitor any Varroa that might fall to the bottom of the bee boxes. Also, we got our first spring swarm catch. The local school had a swarm, so I went down there late in the evening and collected it. It was pretty easy to do, although, you know, getting it off the post was a little trickier than just sort of shaking them off a branch. Eventually we got the queen into the hive, and so it was just a case of waiting for the remaining bees to find their way into the box. It's pretty cool seeing the bees recognizing that the queen is in the box, and so they start making their way into the hive. So once we caught the swarm, we found it a new home. And for a month or so, they were doing really well. They were out foraging and had good numbers coming to and from the hive. But one morning, I noticed a whole heap of sort of small ants, you know, maybe 2 millimeters long, all over the hive. So I got in there and started to address the issue. They never were the same after this. I'm not sure if the queen swarmed. I didn't see it happen. But when I checked later, there was no eggs or brood in the hive, and essentially it was a queenless hive. So I decided to take the remaining bees that were in the hive and add it to one of our other weaker hives at our apiary, and that's allowed that hive to be strengthened, and they're getting stronger week by week.
So I didn't think this apple tree was going to be successful, because it's that's north, and we've got this carport here that it basically shaded for a lot of the day, and then it gets some of the afternoon shade, but it's really good to see that growing. I installed they call them whirligigs for some reason. I put one of these in. And that really does help, and the idea is to put one on here, so I've bought another one. The chickens really were suffering in the heat wave a couple of weeks ago, before we kind of twigged that, you know, we needed to do something. And unfortunately, between the heat wave starting and us sort of realizing we needed to do more, we lost one of our chickens. I'm glad we just only lost the one, rather than half of them or something. And I put her in one of the compost piles, so she'll become part of the soil. So She's not gone, she's just changed form. But one of the things I found the best is every hour or so, I just come out and I use the hose here just to wet this area down without trying to wet the chickens directly. It tends to drop the temperature by maybe 15 degrees. I bought one of these tumblers just to give them a crack, and I found what I'm trying to do is I've put coffee grounds and paper in here to try and age the coffee grounds before they go into the worm farms. But I find because they're not very large, they easily heat in hot weather, but they easily cool in cool weather. It's hard for them to hold heat. But I'm just experimenting with them, trying to develop sort of like a system with the coffee grounds. So we get them in, I sift them to get anything out of them we don't want, and then put them into this tumbler for a few weeks, try and get the heat up, try and get them aged, then sit them out in the open air for a few days and then add them to the worm farms. One of the other things I do when we get like above 35 degrees is in the morning, or when it starts to warm up, I just put a frozen bottle of water in the worm farms. That tends to help keep them cool for almost a day. Put a couple of citrus trees here in the corner. I'm just trying to, I guess that's a little bit of sun damage. Find the citrus are a bit more temperamental. Learning how to keep them, really. The herb sprawl hasn't, I didn't pay much attention to it this year. I've got a dripper system in, but I find that's not enough. Again, I think I need to just try and keep this in as dense a planting as possible, so the actual plants in here keep the soil cooler, rather than just trying to use water to hydrate and cool the soil down all the time.
So here I'm putting together some ideal supers. They're just half a normal super. The purpose of this is to be able to sell tiny frames of honey so that people get to buy the honeycomb and not just the honey. So here I'm just putting the small frames together. They come in a pack of, I think there's like 30 frames and a box. And so we've ordered more assembled as opposed to unassembled, because it does take some time to put them all together. Here, because we make beeswax candles, I'm using the melted wax to seal the foundation into the frames. It's a very neat way of securing them to the frame. Here I'm up at the apiary just adding them to our hives.
Box going in with our small frames.
So I put them on the two strongest hives, and here I'm just checking. It's probably been 2 or 3 weeks, or maybe a month, since I put them on. So we're just checking to see how they are.
This is what they look like. They're still working on them, not quite ready. Looking great though. Some are ready, some aren't. I'd rather harvest it all together. See, that's not capped off yet, so I reckon it needs maybe another week.
So hopefully in the next couple of weeks they will be all capped off and ready to take to the market.
Our bamboo's going pretty well. Pretty thirsty plant, I think. But no, they're doing all right. We've got some passion fruit growing. So I get to eat a few of those each day. What happens in summer is our food forest soil dries out. The soil dies in summer, kind of short-circuiting its developmental process. So we, in those cooler months, the soil gets wet, gets cool, and we start to notice the fungal growth in the wood chips, and you can see growth, everything looks happy, but then summer comes, and summer is a dormant period for us up here, but I'm trying to sort of put in an intervention at the moment. So what I've started to do is I spent a couple of hours just drenching the food forest as much as I can to try and get some moisture back into the soil in anticipation for planting out just wherever we can, just plant something to start getting a living mulch on this ground. So I just bought these sprinklers. If I water it for 20 minutes or something, it just wets the mulch. It actually doesn't get into the soil there. So I watered it for a couple of hours last night. So let's see if it, how far it got to go down. Yeah, it's still a bit getting damp, but probably needs another. Yeah, it's still dry further down, so it probably needs another dosage tonight. So yeah, always learning, you know, again in the food forest, tired of just using a, you know, just like, you know, pea straw as like the main mulch part of the system. So instead, we're going to make a living mulch happen. Let's try here. So it's wetter. I guess that's some fungal matter there. I'm not sure actually. Soil is the final frontier for us. We're learning how to look after it. But anyway, it probably needs another soakage tonight. But that's one of the preps also for the heat wave coming, is to try and get as much moisture into the soil. I also put water into this second swale here just to try and get as much infiltration into deeper down for access to the fruit trees. I think what happened, because we did start this process about 10 years ago, is when we first started, we wanted to have a nice lawn. I've mentioned this before, and we started becoming successful over a couple of months, but then we got the water bill, and it was like $600 or $800 for a quarter, and that freaked us out. So then our decision was, let's get tanks and not rely on any town water and just use as much or all of our rainwater harvesting for the system, which is a great principle, and we've tried that. But in trying to get the system up and running, it's not enough water. And so I've had to kind of relax that principle in the short term to try and get our system up and running so that it can rely, hopefully, mostly on the rainwater harvesting techniques that we've implemented. That's kind of... by not using town water in the short term, we've extended the implementation phase of our system. Because I think, like I said before, the summer just sets us back, and the system's trying to get going, but then summer knocks us back, and then we rebuild for another 6 to 9 months, and then it gets knocked back. So by utilizing the town water more in those hotter periods, we're hoping to build a living mulch. But in saying that, like, this is the natives that we planted 10 years ago in pretty hard soil, pretty hard clay soil, and we don't water these anymore. They just look after themselves. So, you know, we used to water them through summer. I used to break my shoulders just carrying water, watering cans to get them established. But, you know, the system doesn't require that any longer. So that's good. So I think adding a living mulch to the fruit trees and the food forest, I think will protect our system much more in the summertime.
We've got a 48 degree day today, which is just crazy weather, crazy hot. So I'm here to give them as much water as I can. So here I've gone back up just before the heat wave to make sure that their water is topped up. I've got little bee pontoons just to help them along. Well, I don't have it in the video, but I also opened the back of their bottom board trays, as well as put a stick at the top of the lid just to give them some extra airflow help over the heat wave.
One thing I learned about is Azolla can be a good addition to compost because of its nitrogen fixing, or it fixes nitrogen out of the environment into the plant, and it can be fed in moderation to the chickens. So I've put an outdoor system together here using an IBC tote. So what I've done is I've just cut an IBC tote roughly in half, put it on cinder blocks. It does have a tap in case, you know, I need to empty the water, or maybe even just filter some of the water out. I bought some Azolla online, and I started them inside these so that they're a bit more isolated in those initial, I think it's been maybe a month and a half, just to get it established. And then it's getting more often now, but when I noticed that they had started to occupy most of the space in this tub, I'll just let a little bit out. And now it's starting to occupy the space a lot more. What's cool is you start with 10, 20, 40, 80, and it just multiplies. And it's starting to multiply quite quickly now because we've got more Azolla replicating. So the idea is once that becomes more dense, I can feed some to the chickens, I can feed some to the compost as a nitrogen source. Try to work out the best location. So we're under a carport here. The idea is that the sun rises over there, it gets some decent morning sun till about 11, I think 11 or 12, before it goes into shade, but it doesn't get the really hot westerly sun, and it's working at the moment. My challenge, I think, will be when we start getting cooler weather, I might need to try to either move this or just have another IBC tote somewhere else to try to keep it alive over winter. So that'll be the next challenge eventually. But someone in the comments mentioned duckweed, which is a more suitable feed for chickens. So what I plan to do, so I've got the Azolla here, I've got compost worms in this one, but anyway, I'll have duckweed here. We've got a bee inspection today and hopefully a honey harvest as well. Okay, so the hope is 6 boxes of honey to harvest. I often miscalculate and there's not a lot to harvest. My timing's often a little out, but I've tried to adjust my timing. So let's see if we get that 4 to 6 boxes. Okay, so far so good. We've got 1 full box of honey. I thought I was recording, but I wasn't. Now we're gonna fill that one with honey, I reckon, from this box right here. That's what it's all about. There's a few cells there that aren't capped off, but that'll be all right. It's not going to be a big problem. I just use the brush to get as many bees off as I can before I plonk it in. Okay, I've harvested 3 boxes of honey, but unfortunately I got a sting on my chin. My chin hit the mesh here, and a bee stung me, and I'm blowing up a little bit. I've got the sinuses are flaring up a little bit, so I haven't harvested one of the boxes. I'm not going to bother. I think I better just call it a day, go home, just in case. I've always been stung like on a wrist or
an ankle or something, so just to be on the safe side, I'm just going to go home.
We did plan for an event like this by putting some antihistamines in the glove box, but just in the heat of the moment, I just couldn't find them, and so ended up heading home. It got a bit worse after making this part of the video. Anyway, I got home and had a couple of antihistamine, and the symptoms settled down quite quickly. We actually harvested 3 boxes, extracted the honey at home, and got them all ready for market. I think we got about 45 kilos of honey out of those 3 boxes.
Speaking of forgetting about watering, as I'm making the video, I forgot I was watering these fruit trees. And now this guy has had plenty, probably. I'll just have to move it over to this one. Yeah. So, that's what happens. The reality is you make mistakes, you forget, and a lot of that water eventually has just made its way out the front of the property. So that's some of the things we're doing to prepare for the heat wave, and just give you a bit of an update about everything that we're doing. We're more prepared for it this time around. Last time I started doing a deeper watering of the fruit trees, like on the day of the heat, of the first day of the heat wave. So I was sort of chasing my tail. Now I'm trying to be more prepared and utilize town water essentially to build our system until we don't need it. So thanks for watching, and I'll see you in another video.